Everybody's thinking, oh no, where's Terry? It's always an honor. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you can teach all of us. We thank you, God, that we have your word. We thank you that by your spirit, Lord, you can lead us and guide us and direct us. Lord, we want to hear from you this morning. We pray that as we read your word and study your word, God, that you would speak to our hearts, or that you would teach us, that you would give us insight, Lord. And we want to follow you, God. We want to do what you want for us to do, God. So help us with that. We need you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to be in 1 Samuel, and we're going to be kind of jumping around through a few chapters, the first few chapters of 1 Samuel. We've titled this message, Faithful in Faithless Times. And we live in faithless times right now, don't we? There's a story of a 9-year-old boy named Joey who was asked by his mother what he had learned at Sunday school that morning. Well, Mom, our teacher told us how God sent Moses behind enemy lines, and he sent him on a rescue mission to go save the Israelites out of Egypt. When he got to the Red Sea, he had his engineers build a pontoon bridge, and all the people walked across safely. Then he used his walkie-talkie radio to headquarters and called in an airstrike, and they sent the bombers in to blow the bridge up, and all the Israelites were saved. Now, Joey, his mom said, is that really what your teacher taught you today? Well, no, Mom, but if I told you the way the teacher did, you'd never believe it. We know throughout Scripture that in the midst of chaos, God is always faithful. He is the solid rock, the solid foundation that we can bank on, that we can count on, that is never changing. In the youth group, we're going to start doing a study here in the next few weeks on the life of David. And so as I'm preparing to kind of go through that, I started reading 1 Samuel, and I read about Samuel. And we're going to see that God did amazing things in the life of Samuel, almost like I'm kind of jealous in a good way. But God spoke to Samuel. You know, God stood before Samuel. God appeared to him. He made him a prophet and a priest. God used him in a mighty way. And so I asked myself the question, I was just wondering, what was so different about Samuel? God spoke to him. What do I have to do so he can speak to me? What were the circumstances surrounding this young boy who would be such a game changer? I want to be a game changer. Don't you? We want to be a game changer. So as we look at Samuel, we're going to, first of all, talk about the circumstances that this little boy was born into. First of all, we're going to talk about the faithless. In this time, the nation of Israel had already been taken out of Egypt, led by Moses, but ultimately by Joshua. Joshua had already died. While Joshua was alive, the children of Israel did well. After Joshua died, we get what we read through the book of Judges. Now, in the book of Judges, the idea is that the nation of Israel was to be a theocracy. That is, they were supposed to be ruled by God himself. That was their government. They were not paying attention to what God had for them, though. They took their God very lightly. They were continuously falling into idolatry. Civil wars broke out. Enemies left and right were trying to exterminate them. And it was just a bad time and a bad situation. Unfortunately, in the book of Judges, we read this statement often. It says, in those days, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. That was the nation of Israel. They forsook God. God said, you have forsaken me and served other gods. Therefore, I will deliver you no more. Go and cry out to the gods which you have chosen, and let them deliver you in your time of distress. They had forsaken their God. They had intermarried with the local women that were there, with the local men that were there. And because of that, they had worshipped and fallen into false worship, worshiping idols and pagans. Now, it was a cycle that happened over and over in Judges. So the cycle was this. Israel would depart from God. They would forsake God. God's chastisement on them would be that he would permit military defeat upon the nation. And then subjugation. Israel would then cry out to God, Lord, please save us. And so God would raise up a judge who would lead them out of the hands of the oppressors. And that cycle happened over and over and over again. This is the time and age in which Samuel was born into. The nation of Israel had forsaken their God. If that wasn't enough, the priests, the religious leaders of Israel were no better. Eli and his sons, Phinehas and Hophni, they were horrible priests unto the Lord. Eli was a judge of Israel. He was a high priest, but he was not characterized by a firm personality. He was no doubt sincere, and he was devout, but he was also weak, very weak. We read that he got old at a point, and he heard everything that his two sons were doing in all Israel. And God would ultimately tell Eli, why do you honor your sons more than me? His sons had these customs that they would do. They would be rejected by God. It says that they didn't even know the Lord. And here they are, priests at that time for the nation of Israel. They had several customs that were an abomination to the Lord. When somebody would go and offer a sacrifice, the priests were supposed to take a certain portion of meat. These guys didn't. They would take whatever meat came out of the pot. They were supposed to get either a breast or a shoulder. They didn't do that. Whenever somebody brought an animal to sacrifice, the animal's meat was burned, and the fat was supposed to be burned unto the Lord. The fat was thought of as the best part, and so that first best part was supposed to be given to the Lord. These priests would go and say, before we cook this, before we burn this, give me that piece because I want to cook it. Just little things that were really, though, disobedient to their God. Ultimately, they even did something that was gross, an abomination. They would have sexual immorality, sexual relations with women that were ministering in the temple at that time. These were the priests, okay? So it says that their sin was very great before the Lord. These are the priests who were leading the nation, if you will. And it was gross. It was horrible. A very faithless time. You know, it's kind of like when you turn on the news nowadays. It can get depressing, can't it? We live in faithless times. Well, enter in the faithful. What was so different about Samuel? What? Who else? What's the deal with this guy? Okay. The first faithful person that we're going to talk about here is his mother, Hannah. In the midst of faithless times, get this, Hannah was married to Elkanah, and Elkanah was married to another woman as well. In those times, if your wife could not bear a son and continue your lineage, it was acceptable in those times to marry another woman who could. However, understand this, that was never endorsed by the Bible. Never endorsed by the Bible. However, that was the case. And so Hannah was married to a husband who was married to somebody else. And let's go ahead and look at chapter 1 of 1 Samuel, starting in verse 4. Let's look a little bit into who Hannah is. It says, whenever the time came when Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters, but Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. So, according to the Israelites, the inability to bear children was actually a curse. It was not a blessing from God. It was a curse. And so Hannah is brokenhearted. embarrassed. She's ashamed. But beyond her painful trial, get this, there is a purpose that God had in mind. It says in verse 5, the Lord had closed her womb. So Hannah is bitter. She's broken. She's sad. She's unconsolable. Skip down to verse 10. When she was in bitterness of soul, she prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. There's a few things we can learn from Hannah right here. One thing is that she took her bitterness to God. In her time of just sadness and brokenness, she would tell Eli, I've come and I've poured out my soul before the Lord. That is what Hannah did. You know, Jesus said, in this life you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. When we come across those difficult times, it's healing to go and pour your soul out to the Lord. That's what Hannah did. Now, she did something else in that prayer, though. She reorganized, or she reordered her priorities. She was no longer thinking about just herself. Why don't I have a son? Why is it just me? Why does Penina have the son? And what, this is not fair. She got kind of past that, and she started thinking about how others could benefit from this. And so she said, Lord, if you give me a son, I will give him back to you. He will be yours so that he can serve you. No doubt she had seen and known that just the situation that Israel was in, and Eli and his sons, and how they were horrible priests. And so she said, Lord, give me a son and I will make him yours. She promised that not a razor would touch his hair. The idea is he would be a Nazarite. A Nazarite was somebody that would take a vow to live his life for the Lord. He would abstain from anything from a grapevine, which would signify distance from fleshly pleasures. He would take no part in mourning for the dead, nor come near a dead body, because the dead show corruption and the fruit of sin. And also this showed that the Nazarite had greater concerns than the ordinary joys and sorrows of life. And he would never cut his hair, because it was a public, visible sign to others of the vow. Typically, a Nazarite vow was just for a short period of time, maybe a couple years, but like Samson, Samuel would be a Nazarite from birth, all the days of his life. Now, go ahead and look at verses 19 and 20. It says, after she prayed this, then they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. So she conceives, she bears a son, and God is faithful to the promise. Now, it's her turn to respond to her commitment to God. Let's keep reading in verse 20. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. Now the man Elkanah and his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, not until the child is weaned. Then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word. Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bulls, one ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. And so they worshiped the Lord there. Hannah was faithful to her commitment to God. She was faithful to her promise to God. She nursed little Samuel. And it's thought that in those times, they would nurse to about the age of 3. Maybe it could have gone a little bit past that. But at around that age, after she had weaned Samuel, she takes Samuel to Eli, to Shiloh, to leave her son, her only son, to serve the Lord there for the rest of Samuel's life. What a faithful, committed mother. She made a promise to the Lord, and she kept it. Now, it must have been painful for Hannah to leave Samuel. Can you imagine that? I mean, I have a little 4-year-old daughter, and my sons when they were little. But I couldn't do that. But Hannah did. In chapter 2, Hannah offers up a prayer, and her prayer is full of pure joy, praising God, declaring that God is holy, declaring that he is one who weighs the human deeds, one who satisfies the needy. What a beautiful, difficult thing for a mother to do. She was faithful so much so that if you would turn, we're going to jump around just a bit to chapter 2. And look at what she would do for Samuel as he's growing up as a little boy serving the Lord. Look at chapter 2, verse 18. Chapter 2, verse 18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord even as a child wearing a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. How hard that must have been. Can you imagine the love that was poured into every robe that she made for her little boy? As she was making that robe, the prayers she must have offered to God for Samuel, how she remembered and wondered how he was doing, what he was doing that day. And imagine when she would come every year with her husband and she brought that robe and she looked forward to seeing her son. It warms my heart. It makes me want to cry when I think about that. It's just so beautiful. To her, it was a reality, as it says in Psalm 127. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Talk about an arrow in Hannah's hands. Another thing that we can learn from Hannah is how she prayed for Samuel. Even before he was born, how she must have prayed for him while he was serving apart from her. How she was committed as a mother to him. Parent, it's never too early to pray for your son or daughter. It's never too late to pray for them. Parents, grandparents, pray for your children, your grandchildren. It's so powerful. I think that ultimately God gets all the credit, but he used Hannah in a huge way so that Samuel could be ready and prepared to serve the way that he was going to serve. Hannah was faithful. Faithful to her commitment, faithful to God. Another person that I want to look at is Samuel. Now, obviously, Samuel was a faithful person. Now, he was faithful, first of all, to his mother. Samuel stayed with Eli when his mother dropped him off there. I remember when my mom dropped me off for the first time in kindergarten, I cried like a big baby. I remember a kid came and comforted me who would later become my best friend growing up. But boy, I didn't want my mom to leave me. Samuel stayed with Eli. Who was Eli? Had he met him before? Did Eli smell bad? Was he weird? Samuel stayed with him. No doubt, Hannah must have prayed with him and put that in his mind, how he was born to serve God. Samuel, you were given to me by God because you're going to serve the Lord in the temple. And I'm going to take you there and I'm going to leave you, Samuel. But God's going to be with you. Samuel was faithful to Hannah in so many ways. And I'm sure every time that she took him that little robe, she would encourage him. She would tell him how much she loved him, how much she was proud of him. And she probably told him, look, Samuel, you stay faithful. Don't be like Eli's sons. They're an abomination to the Lord. But you, Samuel, you stay faithful. One thing we can learn from Samuel in this is that we truly should, young person, honor our parents. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, listen to this. Those of you who are younger, listen very carefully. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Samuel honored his parents. He obeyed them. All part of this setup. Now, another person Samuel was faithful to was Eli. We're going to see here in chapter 3 in a bit that God calls to Samuel before Samuel had ever heard God's voice. And the first three times that God calls to Samuel, Samuel runs to Eli, who it says was old and his eyes were not so good anymore. And Samuel would run to Eli and say, here I am, for you called. Samuel's probably thinking, you know, what can I help you with, sir? What can I help you with, Eli? Samuel, no doubt, learned from Eli, studied what Eli told him to study, did whatever Eli told him to do. Samuel was a servant, humble, willing to do whatever he was told to do. Ultimately, of course, Samuel was faithful to God. Very faithful to God. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. This is what intrigued me about Samuel when I read this and just what happens here in chapter 3. It says in chapter 3, verse 1, now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time while Eli was lying down in his place and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see. And before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called to Samuel. And he answered, here I am. And so he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And he said, I did not call you. Lie down again. And he went and he lay down again. Then the Lord called again, yet again, Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called. And he answered, I did not call, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And so he arose and went to Eli, and he said, here I am, for you did call me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and what? Stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day, I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I would judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. So Samuel lay down until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he answered, "Here I am." And he said, "What is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you and more also, if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said to you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord, and the word of Samuel came to all Israel. It's thought Samuel was about 12 years old when this happened. Maybe an early teenager, maybe 12 years old. God spoke to Samuel. So my question is, what do I have to do so that God can speak to me? Don't you want to hear God speak to you? How cool, how awesome for God to speak to you in a real personal way like he spoke to Samuel. A few things we can learn from Samuel. If you want to hear God speak to you, go and be in a place where you can hear God speak. Look at the circumstance Samuel's in. He's been serving all his life thus far in the temple. He's been studying the word of God, no doubt. He's been learning from Eli. He's laying down in the temple, and right there God speaks to him. Be in a place where God can speak to you. Doesn't necessarily mean you have to come and fall asleep here. We're going to shut the doors after second service today. But be in a place where God can speak to you. Be in the habit of reading his word. Be in the habit of worshiping him. Be in the habit of living in obedience to him. Be in a place where he can speak to you. Another thing you can do is talk to God when you know that he speaks to you. Now, one way that he speaks to us today is through his word. You want to hear God speak to you? Read and study his word. As you read and study his word, you will learn, you will grow. But from experience, I tell you, and I know others would testify, that as you study his word and you learn things and God gives you insight, he speaks in a personal way to your soul. In times of trouble, he comforts you. In times when you need guidance, he guides you. In times when you're excited and you're loving life and you study his word, you realize it's God who gave all those things to you. Study his word. The third thing, when you understand his word, do what God says to do. Obey. How do you want God to speak to you if you aren't already doing what you know you should be doing? Why should God give you further instruction if you haven't already obeyed the instructions that he's given you up until now? And we can be honest with God and cry out to him and say, "Lord, I know that I haven't followed what you've told me, but help me, I want to." And he will help you. So Samuel was faithful to God in the midst of a horrible circumstance, in the midst of a horrible situation. Samuel is faithful. Now, the last person I want to talk about, the most important, is God. In the midst of a faithless time, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of perhaps a country that's just fallen apart, there is one who remains faithful, and we see God faithful in many ways right here. And I'm going to list a few. God was faithful to Hannah. He heard Hannah's prayer, and he gave her a son, Samuel. He blessed Hannah with three more sons and two more daughters. She had five more. God kept Hannah's son Samuel and helped him to remain a faithful servant. He was faithful to Hannah. God was faithful to Samuel all the days of his life. God must have given Samuel the strength to be apart from his family at such a young age. I don't know how Samuel did it, except for to say, God helped him. God gave him that strength. God gave him that understanding, that ability to be away from the family at such a young age. That was God. God spoke to Samuel, as we just read. We know that God did not let any of Samuel's words fall to the ground. That is to say, everything that Samuel said happened. And everything that Samuel said, he said because he heard from the Lord. That was how the nation knew, okay, this guy, Samuel, is a true prophet of the Lord. Because everything he says happens. God let none of his words fall to the ground. God let none of his words fall to the ground. The Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the way of the Lord. We read at the beginning of chapter 3 how it says, God's word, his revelation was rare. Not so with Samuel. Samuel enters a scene and God speaks. God guides. God leads. Under the leadership of Samuel, the Israelites would overcome the Philistines, who, by the way, would no longer seek to annihilate them. They were so scared. Samuel would serve as a prophet and as a priest. Samuel would anoint King Saul and later on King David. Samuel, for the whole time of his life, remained faithful, but we have to give all that credit back to God. God was faithful to Samuel. God was also faithful not only to Hannah, to Samuel, but he was faithful to his people, to the nation of Israel. I want to read to you a few verses out of Deuteronomy. After the children of Israel were saved from Egypt, God declared this and told this to the nation of Israel. Listen very carefully. You are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all peoples in the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you, because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. God would remain with his people, never to leave them, never to forsake them. He provided for them a judge when they cried out to him. When Eli and his sons were faithless and the nation was faithless, God was faithful. And by circumstances, starting with closing the womb of Hannah, circumstances that would lead up to Samuel, who would be a prophet to the nation. Not only was he faithful to the nation, but God was faithful to his word. I'm going to keep reading out of Deuteronomy promises that he made. God says, therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. And he repays those who hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack with him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. Therefore, you shall keep the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which I command you today to observe them. Then it shall come to pass, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep you, or will keep with you, the covenant and the mercy which he swore to your fathers. There's a promise there. Obey my commandments. Do what I've commanded you to do. I'm going to love you. I'm with you. But if you hate me, if you disobey me to my face, I will not be slack and I will judge you for that. God cannot go back on his word. What God says, he does. Not like us, right? We lie. Mentirosos. We make promises and unlike Hannah, we don't keep them. But God, when he says something, as he says it, so he does. In conclusion, God gives us promises today, and he's still faithful to those promises. If you find yourself in a situation where you're just broken like Hannah, you don't know what to do. Your heart is bitter. Jesus would say to you, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." God would say, "Give me those worries. Give them to me, focus on me, worship me, and I'll take care of them." That's what Jesus says. That's a promise. If you want to be like Samuel, and you say, "Lord, I want to hear you speak to me." We read out of Jeremiah 29, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." You search God with all your heart, and he will reveal himself to you. He will speak to you in a very personal, without a shadow of a doubt way. He still speaks to his people. All in all, God wishes that we all have that relationship that Samuel had with him. There's no reason why we shouldn't. Jesus said, "This is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day." Everlasting life is eternal. To have everlasting life is to have a new life in Christ as a child of God, one who can now hear him speak. And that's what God wants for every single one of us. Faithful in faithless times, let's be like Hannah. Let's be like Samuel and trust and know that God is going to be God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you so much, God, that you are unchanging. Lord, we want to humble ourselves before you. We pray for our families. We pray for our children. You know every child in the mind of every parent in here. We pray for them, Lord, that you would raise them up. Lord, we give them to you. They're not ours. They're yours. Our grandchildren, our children. Take them, Lord, and make them yours. Lord, help us to be an example to them. Help us to constantly pray for them. Help us to communicate to them the importance of serving you and who you are. And Lord, like Samuel, we want to hear you speak to us. We're not worthy. We don't deserve for you to speak to us. But by your grace and by your mercy, Lord, give us a hunger and a desire to hear you speak to us. And Lord, for every heart in here that has not known you, who doesn't know you, who isn't your child, Lord, I pray that they would come to know you right now. If you haven't made the Lord Jesus your Savior, if you haven't asked him to be your Lord and God, then the Bible says that you are walking as a dead person, dead in your sins. But he has everlasting life. He wants to forgive you. And if you feel that he's calling to you right now in a specific way, then you pray to him and ask him to be your God. And you say in your heart, you repeat this in your heart, and you say to him, "Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. I have sinned greatly against you, but I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. Forgive me. Make me a child of God. Lead me and guide me and help me to live for you for the rest of my life. Lord, help us all. Use us in mighty ways. May we all be game changers in our lifetime. We love you, God. Thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand up. We'll have a closing prayer.